Sports.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
And happy Friday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. You've heard about him. We have talked about him, I should say. If you'd like more information on how you can join the team, go to the website, GogginCole.com. We'll be with you tonight until 6 when we turn things over as the Atlanta Braves take on the Washington Nationals over in Atlanta. This is game 2 of their 4-game series. Now, Julio Teheran, who was supposed to have started last night, now he's slated tonight for the Atlanta Braves. Patrick Corbin going for the Washington Nationals. It was not a good night for Kyle Wright, a former Vandy standout. He had the spot start. The Braves end up getting beat last night 13-4. Hey, but whether you get beat 13-4 or 4-3, a loss is a loss.
You move on.
And you forget about it because you can't do anything about it. But with that said, the Braves, with the loss, they're 5.5 games ahead of Washington now in the National League East, 7.5 up on Philadelphia. And that loss did do one thing, by the way. We're talking about now the Braves are in a situation where they've lost 3 straight. They've got to find a way as far as to end the 3-game losing streak. So just want to throw that out to you. By the way, we're back. This is kind of strange, getting reaccustomed to being back into the studios, being gone for 4 days, Jay, as far as our coverage of the SEC football media days.
Went by way too fast.
Really?
Well, I mean, when we were there, it didn't. But once we get home, it's like, wow, where'd the 4 days go?
That's the whole thing, because it's so fast-paced, so jam-packed from start to finish. As you're going through it, you realize they're long days. But when it wraps up, it's like, bam. Because yesterday afternoon, it kind of dawned on me that, wow, this is the final day.
Yeah.
Because the first day is long. I was talking to other folks, especially ones that are experiencing it for the first time. And I'm curious to get your thoughts about this. You really start feeling it day 2 early in the morning.
Yep.
Because the reality sets in, but it's such a great opportunity to be in that situation to get a full flavor of an upcoming football season. I never take it for granted having that opportunity to be around such intriguing individuals, and this year obviously no different.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very really, honestly, a humble experience. I get there, and first couple guys we see is Adam Zucker of CBS and Dari Noka, and they just come up to us and just shaking our hands like it's nothing, And I'm thinking, wow, here are these two guys that are they're well known reporters, and they did a really good job on our show as well, or on your show as well. And
well, the part about that too is the fact that you get a little bit of everybody, and you get the blend of the SEC Network, ESPN folks, along with CBS, and then obviously I really like having a chance to sit down with the players from the various teams, and it still goes without saying the players representing Vanderbilt to me stood out. Not only with their attitudes and the fact that it kind of dawned on me, the opportunity is there. When you start thinking about a list of individuals being successful on the football field for Vanderbilt and then having the opportunity to play at the next level, I mean, those are the individuals that can sell the program too, not just Derek Mason and the assistant coaches, but from a recruiting standpoint. But the more and more individuals you have like that, especially for those individuals coming out of high school, because I saw some knocks on social media today about Vanderbilt, and it's like, nobody that's on Vanderbilt's roster, if they were with any other program out there, second string, third string, stop with that nonsense.
Mm.
Once again, it's individuals that not really looking at the roster. Yeah, you tell that to any of the 32 teams in the NFL. they'll laugh at you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jarrod Pinkney's every bit of a tight end that somebody wants in the NFL. I mean, I told you when he got up, I was like, my goodness, he was huge. I mean, I was shocked. And he's got some really good hands. And you look at Kalijah Lipscomb, he's got good hands. And Keyshawn Vaughn runs a 4.3 flat. So, I mean, these guys are all very skilled. Now, just because they're playing at Vanderbilt don't mean they're fifth string anywhere else. They could be playing anywhere else in the SEC, not just at Vanderbilt.
Well, and the problem, and Derek Mason addressed this early on. I remember first year that Derek Mason was head coach with the Commodores, and we spoke about this, and we talked about it in year two. You know, the difference for Vanderbilt then, and it's improving. The big question mark this year about Vanderbilt, obviously, it has the defense improved right over last year. We're talking about a difference from 2017, where you had as far as opponents facing third and sixth on an average, to a situation. I'm sorry, that way around. They were facing third and seven on average, which is good right if you're a defensive standpoint. But we're talking about a yard difference dramatically last year, and that's not good because those are. You know, if you want to get a team off the field, you want to be able to, you know, get to a point where it's tougher for them to convert on third down. And that was just the opposite. So you go from being in the top 25% of all the teams playing college football, the 130 teams 2 years ago, to being in the bottom 25%. That has to improve. But the stat that still stands out to me for Vanderbilt, especially with that offense, is the fact that last year in the regular season in the seven games that they scored 28 points or more, 6-1. That's huge. So obviously the key is improve on defense, still be able to manage that type of offensive production. Vanderbilt should be improved. I have, by the way, and we'll talk about this too throughout the 2 hours. I go back, we got the result, and I'll compare it to what I selected. And look, I'm not one of those individuals who just throws out, okay, I think Alabama's better than anybody in the West, and then I've got this team and that team, and then I go to the East and start ranking 1 through 7. What did I predict last week? What did I predict last week? That you can just count on the fact in the SEC East, Vanderbilt would be picked 7th, no matter what.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Doesn't matter. And guess what? Vanderbilt got picked as far as with regards from a media standpoint?
7th.
There you go.
And guess who was 6th? Kentucky, and then 5th, Tennessee.
So I bring all of this up because I've always been doing this. I take the schedule, and I usually do this pocket schedule, so it's easier to span it. So I get the pocket schedule, and even in the non-conference games, W or L. And then we get to conference play, I start checking, okay, is there trap games? Who's playing, you know, which, say we're picking Vanderbilt. Who are they playing the week before? Who are they playing after? We pick teams that could be upset. So you start looking at, say Florida. Right. Is Florida having a huge game this week? Not so much this week in the conference. And next week, another huge game. That's a trap game. Mm-hmm. You may be overlooking one. It's tough. You know, I always use this example, too, with people who are listening. It's like, because you always hear about the fact, it's football. I'm excited about my team. Every Saturday, I'm ready to go. Well, that's fine and dandy, but let me ask you this. Monday through Friday, when you get up in the morning, you know you got a job to do, right? Do you always get up pumped up, ready to go to execute 100% maximum effort in your job?
Negative.
Find me, I'll just say this. Find me one person that can do that, other than Nick Saban, it seems like. You know, I read his article about his life and you know, a day-to-day thing and the fact that and there's a reason why he's got the little button he can push to close the door, because you're talking about wasting 5 seconds. So you all of a sudden you're wasting a minute a week just getting up to close a door. And the reason why he eats the same thing each and every day is because you think about it. If I hand you a menu, you're going to fumble around, think, well, today, do I want the pasta or do I want the cheeseburger? Do I want the cheeseburger with fries or maybe the green bean salad or whatever? You figure out you waste about 5 minutes a day trying to figure out what you want to eat, right? So you think, what's the big deal? 5 minutes times 5 days, all of a sudden, that's almost half an hour that you're wasting just trying to figure out what you're going to eat for lunch. And this is the way, I know you're laughing when I'm saying this, but this is the way Nick Saban thinks.
I'm just smiling because I know what you're talking about.
I mean,
because we saw it firsthand.
We saw it first. I mean, I saw the printout exactly where he needed to be all day long, because luckily for us, we were on that list. And so I happened to glance down on the list, and I mean, we're talking about minute by, you know, this is where from time A to time. I mean, it's like, and that's how he, and I had a chance back in after the end of 2008 season, a glimpse of what they go through as far as the players. Mm-hmm. How, you know, day in and day out, all right, this is what you're supposed to be doing, you know, and you pick a day. Pick a day in the middle of January, and pick a day in the offseason when you're working out. It's like, it's that fine-tuned. So, there's no accident why Bama's won 5 national championships. But, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, caught my attention and caught my eye. But I go back to the predicted order of finish by the media and how it compares.
It's chalk, basically.
This week, I literally tried to figure out, like last year, I had South Carolina. I could see a potential open possibility for South Carolina and Jake Bentley, the fact that they're hosting the Bulldogs, to find a way to upset them.
That didn't go well.
It didn't go well because, you know, the very first series, you can't throw a pick six if you're trying to upset somebody in that situation. Never a good thing. But as far as last year, 11 teams of the 14 went to bowl games in the SEC. Ole Miss, by the way, couldn't go because of the fact that it didn't matter because they weren't going to go anyway.
Yeah.
But the fact that they had the second year of their bowl ban. I have 12. I have every team in the East. Now, whether or not, we don't know what the situation in Missouri is yet, whether or not they win the appeal or not. But even with that said, I've got every team in the East with at least 6 wins this year. Now, I start going down the list. Let's start with the East, for example, since both Tennessee and Vanderbilt are from our state, and they're both members in the East. But I have Georgia. You know, I'm looking, trying to find a potential. I do have this, by the way. I do have Georgia losing to Auburn.
Really?
Yes. Wow. I have Georgia losing to Auburn.
Is that a Jordan Hare?
Well, here's the reason why I did that. I'm starting breaking this down, and, you know, you can't go up for whatever reason. I know the schedules are tough and all that. I get that. I understand that. But, you know, there's something about 2013, 2017, those odd year games, especially when the Auburn Tigers get to host the Crimson Tide. But I look at Georgia and the fact that they host Missouri. Right after that, they're hosting Texas A&M on November 23rd. And then right in between there, you got a road trip to Jordan-Hare Stadium down in Auburn. Here's the thing. You're going to lose. If you're Georgia, you're going to lose to somebody. Think about this schedule in November. You've got Florida, neutral site Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
You host Missouri. You have to travel to Auburn, you host Texas A&M, and you have to go and play the non-conference matchup with your rival Georgia Tech. Are you going to tell – I mean, I just when you look at 5 games like that, there's no breather. You're going to lose one of those games if you're Georgia.
Well, not just that. You might lose some players as well.
Possibility.
I mean,
and
that's another opportunity. You know,
and the fact that Auburn, and we never wish that, obviously, upon anybody. But 5 straight, no break in between that 5-game stretch. Auburn is the third of those 5. That's why I have Auburn at home beating Georgia. So it's not like I didn't have, you know, because immediately you start thinking, well, Georgia's going to just go chalk, bam.
No.
Yeah, but did you look at the schedule?
Yeah, really.
So I've got Georgia 1. I got the Florida Gators in the 2 spot, and that's exactly what everybody else seems to feel. This, you know, as far as those feelings, and there's no. It's not like it was close. As far as looking at the Big 3, I mean, there's pure separation. 1, 2, 3. Right. Georgia, Florida, Missouri.
Yep.
Number 3, and I'm looking the way I had it. This is the difference, and I have Tennessee. Don't laugh, but I got Tennessee going 8-4 overall. But forget about that part. I've got Tennessee 4-4 in the conference, whereas I've got Missouri a 3-way tie with Vanderbilt and South Carolina. So I disagree as far as Missouri. I have them one notch lower, and then once again a grouping of 3. And the way I break that 3-way tie for 4th. I got South Carolina beating both Vanderbilt and Missouri, so I've got South Carolina in that four spot behind Tennessee. And then because of the three-way tie, then there's only one spot remaining, and that's Kentucky at seventh. So I'm really different with my selections. But when you look, I mean, am I really totally different? One spot difference with Missouri, one spot difference as far as the way the media has Kentucky, because the media has Kentucky in the sixth spot, whereas they have Vanderbilt in the seventh spot.
And they have to come to Nashville this year.
And the other part, too, now remember I said there was pure separation in the East. You know, there's a big difference between Georgia and Florida, big difference between Florida and Missouri. But then when we get to those next three teams, the media, everybody who voted on this, is kind of feeling the way that I am, because not a lot of separation between South Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky in those next three spots.
Right.
And then, Vanderbilt, it's not even close where they just picked them last.
I mean, it's just like they were the only ones in the East that didn't get a first-place vote.
So, yeah, and that's really strange, too, because when you look at that way from the East, the West, oh, my gosh, I guess whoever is voting for Ole Miss, they must have did not make the trip, because you could always count on somebody from Ole Miss, you know, selecting them to be the West champs. And then in some cases, even the overall SEC champion. But it's, interestingly enough, every team looking at the East and the West, every team received at least one vote to be champs,
yeah.
Right? A vote to be champs. The ones that did not, strangely enough, you know, no big surprise about Ole Miss and Arkansas as far as the West, but Texas A&M didn't get any.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Texas A&M, not one person selected Texas A&M with a first place vote, or Ole Miss or Arkansas. Even Auburn got at least one first place vote in the SEC West. In the East, there's only one team that did not get. I mean, Kentucky got one, mm-hmm. Tennessee got one, South Carolina got one. The difference is Georgia got 233.
My goodness.
Second was Florida with 21 as far as the East. But the same kind of separation in the West. Alabama received 253 first place votes in the West. You had five for LSU, one for Auburn, one for Mississippi State. But Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, all three of those programs, not one single vote to win the West.
It's just incredible to think about.
All right, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll come back on the other side. We'll look at the SEC West and see how the media voted for them and also how I selected. And not to be honest with you, not much difference between the way I had it ranked and the way the media down at SEC Media Days had it ranked. Just two lone exceptions. And so we'll talk about that and also get Jay's thoughts. Get your thoughts, too. 615-844-5600. It's good to be back. I love the experience. It's great to be back home here in Nashville. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic increase quite a bit as far as the traffic volume off the South Loop, the West Loop. Highway 70 at OHB is tied up on a wreck involving injuries. Other wrecks out here include Abbott Martin and Hillsboro Pike that's over near the mall. Traffic's very busy now on 24, making your way back out towards Murfreesboro. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. They started all this hot chicken craze way before everybody else. Stop by this weekend, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Haul, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
Got Asphalt LLC, a full-service asphalt maintenance team backed by over 20 years of experience, reminds all Americans to salute and honor our troops and veterans for a job well done. Got Asphalt LLC, the wise choice for asphalt seal coating, crack filling, stripping, patching, and more. From residential to commercial, call 317-619-9659. That's 317-619-9659. Got Asphalt LLC, proudly saluting all of our troops and veterans and looking forward to serving you.
Bowling Green, WWE Live, presents the SummerSlam Heatwave Tour. Saturday night, August 3rd at EA Diddle Arena. In a double main event, you'll see Kofi Kingston as he defends the WWE Championship against Dolph Ziggler.
This should be me.
Then,
my schedule is wide open.
Roman Reigns faces Drew McIntyre, plus SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley, and more. Don't wait. Great seats are available now at the box office and Ticketmaster.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Don't forget, Braves baseball tonight, game two of their series with the Washington Nationals, just after 6 for the pregame, first pitch at 6:20, and our coverage of Braves baseball also being brought to you by the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference. They have over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Now, their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein, that's with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com. All right, so we were looking at the teams, as I was mentioning before the break, as far as the East. We have not gone down the list as far as predicted order as far as the West is concerned. And Jay, really no big, huge surprises at the top. And honestly, for that matter, no big surprise at the top as far as the East with the Georgia Bulldogs. But as far as the media is concerned, Alabama, 253 first-place votes to win the West, followed by LSU. They had five votes to win the West, and they're selected number two. A huge gap there. To give you an example, the gap between one and two in the East, Georgia over Florida. Georgia, 1,789 points. It's rough. It's basically 290 points ahead of where Florida was, right?
Right.
In the West, Alabama, and what I mean by this, you get X amount of points as far. You get 7 points for first and six for et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So LSU, 1,493. So we're talking about 320 votes difference between one and two.
That's just...
it was almost...
Can you say it biased a little bit?
Well, here's the thing. Well, not really.
I know. They're that good. I know.
I mean, they're that good. So really, Alabama, all but 7 votes, they were, unanimous as far as the West is concerned by the members of the media. Whereas if you look at the East, Georgia gets 233, and that was 233 of the 266. And then you had 5 other teams, Florida with the 21, Missouri with 3, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, all with 1 each. But continuing down the way the media has it, and you see the pecking order, pretty big pecking order and distance between 1, 2, 3, and 4 as the media has Texas A&M 3rd, the Auburn Tigers 4th. And literally this played out the whole way because a huge separation between Auburn and Mississippi State picked 5th and then followed by Ole Miss and Arkansas. And even with Ole Miss and Arkansas, it wasn't like it was just a handful of votes. Ole Miss got 504, while Arkansas at the bottom with 343. And we mentioned, of course, where Vanderbilt is. Huge difference for Vanderbilt compared to how, what, you know, as I mentioned, there was 161 difference, right, as far as votes between Ole Miss and Arkansas. The difference between Kentucky, which barely got beat out by Tennessee. Tennessee had the 804 total votes, while Kentucky had 798. So we're only talking about six, the difference between Tennessee being in the sixth spot and Kentucky being the fifth spot. But then the separation between six and seven, where they have Vanderbilt, as I mentioned, Kentucky, 798 votes. Vanderbilt, 358 as far as the total points there. A huge difference. What, 440? So, yeah, good luck with that.
Can somebody just, you know, give that to Derek Mason so he can use that?
Oh, I'm sure he will. But
my goodness.
And you start seeing, like I said, you start seeing the posts. Like, nobody on Vanderbilt could be second or third team. Last time I checked, I didn't see – there's several teams there didn't have any support as far as All-SEC, for example. And you get the – you look at Kalijah Lipscomb, you know, once again, the leading receiver, and as far as catches – that's back this year, but he led all receivers in catches in the SEC.
Even Jerry Judy,
Jerry Pinkney. We're talking about leading all tight ends, yep, as far as catches. Here's Keyshawn Vaughn. He had over 1,200 rushing yards. He averaged 7.9 yards per carry. I'm glad I asked him too, by the way. You know, because we when we visit with defensive linemen, I don't know what it is, especially with the GQ quarterbacks. Maybe it goes down that line, but when we had a chance to sit down with Marcus Spears, former great for LSU, now analyst, mm-hmm, with the SEC Network, and you know, we when you have somebody like that and how big and you know, you could just, when he starts thinking quarterback and there's nobody in front and your defensive end, not want to hurt anybody, but you certainly want to get to them. I never had a chance, never really thought about asking like Keyshawn Vaughn, which I did. You know, when you break through the line and you realize nobody's going to catch you and you've got a long touchdown run, you know, you wonder, you know, what goes through your mind and your head. And I was joking with him about the fact that if you're in a stadium where they've got the nice video scoreboard, are you looking up to see? Because I remember, the reason I bring that up, because I remember at the tail end of 99, as far as the playoffs, when the Titans had to go to Indianapolis, here's Eddie George breaking through, you can see him looking up at himself to see if anybody's going to catch him from behind. I'll never forget that. And you know, and if you're a player like Eddie George or anybody in that situation, you're not going to forget that either. All right, 844-5600. Husker Richie in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Johnny, if we want to look at the teams that have a chance to win the SEC championship game, we got to start with the possible division winners.
Well, your phone's breaking up there. Try again.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. If we want to, you know, talk about winning the SEC championship game, we got to look at the possible division winners. Look at the East. Georgia, heavy favorite. I think Florida has some chance, but Florida's going to have to beat Georgia and play better than I think they can play. I don't think they'll have the season they had a year ago. Do you agree with that in the East? It's Georgia's, barring major injuries.
Well, and here's the thing. People just look down the list and only assuming and start figuring out, okay, who can compete with them in the East? Well, here's the thing. Remember, every team in the East, they have two games against teams in the West, right? And same thing applies to the West. Everybody in the West has two opponents as far as the East. Well, remember, the Florida Gators, when you look at who they have to play as far as representing the West, you know, they, first of all, they got a tough game against Auburn on October 5th. And then, oh, by the way, the very next week, they have to travel to take on LSU in Baton Rouge. You think the Florida Gators, for example, are going to be able to go 2-0 in those back-to-back games? I don't think so. I think they split that, right? And as far as the Georgia Bulldogs, the fact that they have back-to-back weeks, they've got Auburn and Texas A&M in November 16th and 23rd. They have to go to Auburn, and then the very next week they have to host Texas A&M. Do I feel like Georgia is going to win both of those games? No, I think they split them as well. So it's one thing to think, okay, matching up teams in the East, oh yeah, I think Georgia is much better than this team, that team better than that one, but no one ever, when usually, I guarantee you half the people picking on this, and I'm being generous too, when they make their selections at SEC Media Days, they don't, first of all, take in consideration the complete schedule, and they're probably not looking at the opponents that these teams have as far as from the West, and as far as the West teams, the teams that they have to play coming from the East.
Yeah, I just wish we had more Alabama versus Georgia, and Georgia's had their ups and downs over the year, so has Alabama, but to me, Alabama-Georgia should have been a fantastic rivalry in this conference, and it never has been. And I wish it had been. I wish right now that those two would play, and maybe Auburn would play Tennessee again, and some kind of way to replace that. It's just a shame. Now we get to see that in the championship game, so yeah, we get it there. But it would be fun to have it in the regular season. But, you know, 5 years from now, those two teams may not be dominating their divisions. It can change.
Well,
can change.
I mean, all you got to do is look at, you know, right now we think Georgia, Florida, and who else is going to be in the mix for the third team. But you go back in the 90s, not only are you thinking about that when you think Florida, Tennessee, you're not just thinking about, okay, who's going to be the team in the East. You're talking about winner this game could be relevant as far as on the national scale. Everything goes into cycles, and we don't want to look. It's like I heard this today, and I forgot where I was listening. I think it was on one of the SiriusXM channels about this. But I was hearing the fact that, you know, because of the way both sides of the divisions in the Big Ten, the way it's getting like what we see with the West and East at times over the last 5 years, that maybe they should think about, you know, switching around and mixing up the teams. Well, as soon as you do that, guess what? One of those teams that you switched over, not going to be relevant anymore. It goes in cycles. And right now, certainly, Alabama, Georgia in that mix. But you go back over the last 12 years, you know, Florida was the premier team, for example, in the East during the Tim Tebow era, during when Chris Leak was there in 2006.
Oh, that's true. There's no doubt. Now, I'll say this. To me, as good as the East was years ago, back in the day, I think the West is even better. And that's because Alabama is just so dominant. We've also seen LSU, you know, win a couple of championships in the last 15 years. But the West, you know, it has been really dominant. Who knows if it will be this year. Now, going to the West, here's the thing about LSU, Johnny. I think they could win the SEC championship game if they got there, but I don't think they can beat Alabama to get there.
Well, the big thing is, I don't know, forget about Alabama. Before they get to Alabama, they have to host Auburn, and they guess when they host Auburn? They have Utah State at home, then they get Florida at home, then they have to travel to Mississippi State and then come right back to host Auburn. I mean, that's the point. And the reason why you bring that up is because guess what happens the very next week? After this long stretch, if you're LSU, you've got this long stretch where you played 8 games in a 9-week period. You get a bye week before Alabama is on the schedule. So if you're hosting Auburn on October 26th, if you're LSU, you got the bye week, and knowing on the other side of that, you have to go to Tuscaloosa. Are you going to tell me that everybody – now the fans are pumped up, more reason to have a little drink or two before the game. I get all of that. I have one in the stadium as well. But the bottom line is it's one thing for me to tell you, Husker Richie, all right, so you know you have to be ready to go and be at work at 8 and be ready to give your best, right? You're talking about 18 to 21-year-olds here. You're telling them, oh, and they know on the schedule what – well, they don't know it yet because some of these times switch and go back and forth. I get that. But they know that on that particular date and going into it, okay, this is what we're going to do, kick off at 2:35, and physically you know it. Mentally, this is a grind. It's a physical grind, a mental grind. You're not going to always be at your best. That's why we get upsets.
Yeah, well, one thing I said earlier, Johnny, about Georgia, they'll be favored in 11 out of 12 games, with the only exception possibly they might be an underdog at Auburn. I think they lose at Auburn. I think they win the other 11. And then once again, it's that big elephant in the room. Can Georgia beat Alabama to get back to the playoff? A couple of years ago, they didn't lose to them until the championship game. But if they don't beat them now in the SEC championship game, they're not going to make it. So it's going to come down, in my opinion, Alabama – Georgia, barring major injury. I just can't imagine Texas A&M rising up, beating Alabama out in the, you know, they could beat them, but can they win the division? I can't see it. If Georgia beats Florida, that division is settled. So, you know, it looks really set in stone. I just think those two teams are head and shoulders better than everybody else. And like you said, LSU's schedule, brutal. That's brutal.
And by the way, I agree with you. I think Georgia also loses to Auburn. So, but I have Georgia 11-1, 7-1 in the SEC, and that loss being to the Auburn Tigers.
Do you have Alabama losing the game? Because they normally do, Johnny.
They normally do. I don't have them losing this year.
What about LSU also opening up with Oregon? What an incredible! I mean, you've got to be proud of that schedule. They're not going to win all.
You mean Auburn? You mean Auburn hosting? You mean Auburn opening up with Oregon? LSU opens up.
Auburn?
Yeah, LSU opens up. No, LSU opens with Georgia Southern, and then the very next week they travel to take on Texas in Austin.
Okay, I'm going to take Auburn to win that game. They beat Washington last year. I'm going to take them. I think it'll be a tight game, but I just think that Pac-12 a little bit soft. So I'm going to take the SEC in those out of conference games most of the time.
Hey, appreciate your phone call, buddy.
Thanks, John.
Have a good weekend. And by the way, you know, the LSU-Auburn, I have both LSU and Auburn tying for second in the West, but I do have Auburn beating LSU, and the only loss I have for Auburn in conference play leading up to the Iron Bowl, I have Auburn losing to the Florida Gators. But I have them beating Georgia, I have Auburn beating LSU, and in going into the Iron Bowl, I have the Auburn Tigers 10-1. With a trip to Atlanta, just like in 2017, a trip to Atlanta on the line for the Auburn Tigers at home, and I had them losing.
I mean, it's going to be a tough game at home against Alabama anytime you play them. But like I said, I mean, there's a lot of football to be played before then, and you know, anything happens at Jordan-Hare. I mean, Jordan-Hare, we've seen that. We saw it in 2013, and I think this year, especially after the tragic passing of broadcaster Rod Bramlett, I feel like Auburn will have extra motivation to play the Tide this season.
Hey, and by the way, you talk about how is the East catching up with the West. I'll just look at 2 points. Back in 2013, seven teams, most ever from the SEC as far as finishing in the top 25, you had seven teams. Everybody forgets that Vanderbilt was one of those teams, by the way. You had Auburn second, South Carolina fourth, Missouri fifth, and then you had Alabama eighth, LSU 14th, Texas A&M 18th, and Vanderbilt 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
The teams last year in 2018 tied that mark at the end of the year, seven teams. So half of the teams from the SEC finished in the top 25 in the country. Just like in 2013, four from the SEC West, three from the SEC East. And look, do I think the West is better? Yes, as far as top to bottom. But with that said, in the East, I actually have all seven teams, all seven, with a minimum of six wins overall.
I can see that, definitely.
All right, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still very heavy traffic here as we check it out live. Eastbound, passing Fessler's, headed out towards the airport into Hermitage, Donaldson. Very busy to the north as well. On 65 up through Madison, there's just been a crash, 2700 block of Murfreesboro Pike there in Antioch. Woodland Street at 6 was tied up. Smith Springs at Ned Shelton, that's a crash right at that intersection. Store closing sale going on tomorrow. It's a big auction at 902 Murfreesboro Pike. Save on vehicles, trucks, jet skis. It's a big auction, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll see you there at 902 Murfreesboro Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you defend our freedom. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, thanking all the men and women of the military for their service and wishing everyone a happy summer season. A
Amada Senior Care provides certified caregivers to assist seniors or adults with disabilities in the comfort of their own home. Patients with dementia or Alzheimer's disease, and they have a certified dementia practitioner on staff 24/7. Amada Senior Care is A+ rated by the long-term care insurance and work directly with all insurance carriers on behalf of the family so families don't have to do a thing. Amada has an exclusive relationship with the NFL Alumni Association to help past players learn how to access long-term care insurance policies that are provided as a benefit for vested players. Amada Senior Care Nashville proudly serves all of Middle Tennessee from their corporate headquarters in Murfreesboro. Give them a call today at 615-933-7494 or online at amadanashville.com.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Five-State Forecast.
Your exclusive national sports radio, WNSR Skyscan Forecast. We have a heat advisory in effect till 7 p.m. This afternoon, sunny and hot, high 96, heat index 106. Mainly clear tonight, low 74. Sunshine, a stray afternoon thunderstorm Saturday. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Jay and I were talking during the break, and in just a moment we're going to hear from Vanderbilt tight end Jared Pinckney. But you and I were talking about where Vanderbilt is, and here's the, from the media standpoint, might as well not just show up. I mean, it's they're
they're going to be last. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're a distant seventh as far as the way the media selects them. First and foremost, you look at their opponents from the West. Do I think they'll get at least one of those wins against, you know, as far as Vanderbilt is concerned? Because I do have them losing. This is the way I've got Vanderbilt broken out. They lose to Georgia, and that's going to be a primetime game, by the way. It's the primetime game on the SEC Network.
Right.
I got them going on the road to beat Purdue. I got them, and then you get the bye week. So they have 2 weeks to prepare, you know, for LSU. So you think about where LSU is. LSU, you know, they start off with Georgia Southern. Then they travel to Texas. And then they get into a breather mode as they host Northwestern State. And then mentally, then they go on the road to here in Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. I still think they survive, and they beat Vanderbilt. So I've got Vanderbilt 1-2 going into the final Saturday of September. Northern right. Illinois comes to town. That's a win, in my estimation, for Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt has more talent than Ole Miss. So opening week of October, I got Vanderbilt going to Oxford, beating Ole Miss. I got them coming back home, beating UNLV on October 12th. I have them, and now they're in they have some confidence because now they have a three-game winning streak, right. And Missouri then has to come to Nashville. It's Missouri, okay? And it's not like it's Georgia. It's not like it's Alabama. This is a very winnable game for Vanderbilt. I feel like this will be one of those games that Vanderbilt gets the W on. So I got a win against Missouri October 19th.
Right.
Then they get the bye week. This is where I had them suffering another loss because they go on the road to take on South Carolina on November 2nd.
Right.
If I say Missouri at home or 2 weeks later South Carolina on the road, they're going to win one of those two games. But I had them losing to South Carolina but beating Missouri. All right, so then we get into the thick of things in November. They have to go on the road to take on the Florida Gators. To me, that's a loss. But then you have Kentucky coming to Nashville November 16th. It's not Kentucky of last year.
No.
Josh Allen's not showing up on defense. Benny Snell Jr. is not showing up as far as with the run attack. And all those guys that went to the NFL last year for Kentucky, not a part of the equation. I have a win by Vanderbilt over Kentucky November 16th. And then the following week, they play host to East Tennessee State. What does that do for Vanderbilt at that point? 7-4 overall, one game remaining. They're 3-4 in the conference. They go on the road to take on Tennessee. I actually had them losing to Tennessee, by the way. I think the winning streak comes to an end. I think Tennessee finds a way to get it done. That's how I come up with 7-5 and a three-way tie in the SEC East with Missouri and South Carolina at all 3-5. South Carolina gets the edge because I feel like that South Carolina will beat both Missouri and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt gets the edge over Missouri because I think Missouri loses to both of those two teams.
Right. I mean, you know, it's kind of like what we said when we started this segment. You know, it might as well, if you're Vanderbilt, just don't show up. But I told you off air, I mean, this is something that's going to fuel them. I mean, you and I talked to Keyshawn Vaughn and Lipscomb and Pinckney at SEC Media Days as well as Coach Mason. These guys, you could tell they weren't intimidated. They're not in there with their, you know, like a deer in the headlights. They're ready for this season.
All right, so speaking of all three of those players, we'll be over the next 5-6 weeks playing some of these interviews back. You brought up Jared Pinckney, the tight end for Vanderbilt. Let's hear from him. We had a chance to sit down with him yesterday morning. Here was our chat with Jared. Jared, you know, it's funny that we talk about SEC football media days, and I was just having this conversation with somebody. When you talk about star power, you know, everybody's allowed to bring three representatives to represent their schools from Monday to today. The big debate is, name me another team. When you talk about you and of course, Keyshawn Vaughn, along with Kalijah Lipscomb, as far as with that star power representing your school.
Well, I mean, you know, we kind of just focus on ourselves, you know, not really to compare to other people. So, I mean, it's fun to have this amount of, you know, talent on one team, but at the end of the day, it's more about us than anybody else.
You know, I can tell you and I can talk about how the media feels about Vanderbilt in 2019. I learned a long time ago, and especially this week, when you talk about teams that can compete for an SEC championship, for example, you don't care what we say. You don't care what we think. As long as you believe, that's the only thing that's important.
Right. And that's really what the gist of it is for our team. It's all about us. It's more about what we do in the weight room, what we do on the practice field, and then what we do on Saturdays than what the prognosticators are going to say.
I was watching you last night when you guys arrived and having a chance to just see you interact is the fact that, first of all, you believe in each other. It's like you have, another 80 brothers in your family. At the same time, you had options along with, Kalijah as well as Keyshawn. You didn't have to be back at Vanderbilt this year. The fact that, you know, what was it that wanted you all to come back and represent the school in 2019?
Well, first and foremost, I wanted to graduate. I thought that was very important, and that's one of the reasons that I came here, one of the main reasons I came here, because it's such an important degree and such a monumental achievement that you can have on your resume, and it makes a huge difference after football. And then second, it just speaks to Mason and the relationship that we've been able to build over the last almost five years, that I was able to trust him that he would properly handle me, Keyshawn, and Kalijah in a way that would allow us to not only mature further, but have a successful enough season that we can, you know, raise our monetary value in the NFL.
I don't know what your high school coach was like or other coaches that you've been around as you make your path to where you are today. You know, some coaches guarded. You ask them a question, they give you an answer, but there's no conversation. One of the things that I've noticed every time I'm in front of Derek Mason, whether via phone, in person, whatever, it's not talking to somebody and they're spitting back an answer. We're actually having a conversation.
Right.
And if we're doing that, I can't imagine what that's like with you and your teammates and that kind of relationship with Derek.
Yeah, you know, it's always refreshing to have a coach that is, like, honest and open with you. And the thing that he always tries to tell our younger guys, because he's intimidating, you know, like he yells, he's got a huge voice, but he tells them, just come and talk to me. He's very approachable. And, you know, you'll get the answers that you're looking for, or you'll get the answers you're not looking for, but all the same, he's open and honest with you.
Well, you could tell that, first of all, he loves you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like sons to him. And so the first and foremost, I've always learned that if there's not a mutual respect on both ends, there's no way you're going to play for him, and there's no way he's going to get the best out of you guys.
Right, right, yeah. And it's always been a big thing, you know. I think early on in his career, he was trying to find his footing. And while the guys respected him, it was more of a, you know, the transition from James Franklin to Derek Mason. I didn't come here to play for this guy, so they're kind of feeling him out a little bit. Now, everybody on the roster was recruited by him, and we're here because of him.
Do you feel like, too, there's some players that get yelled at, and it makes them a lot better as far as players. Some, you know, if you yell at them, they'll quit on you. Everybody's different from a personality standpoint, and I think that's one of the qualities that Derek Mason has, is the fact that he understands what it takes to get to say the best out of you, for example.
Yeah, he definitely understands that. There are a bunch of guys on the team that get going when you give them a good kick in the tail, and then there's others that, you know, you need a little bit softer approach. But there's nothing wrong with that, and Coach Mason understands that people are different. Just because you're not going to go yell until somebody starts crying, that's not a bad thing.
You know, one of the things, too, I noticed, and certainly it's quite noticeable, everybody's noticed the fact when you look at the three players representing the 14 schools, Vanderbilt, the only school to bring all three individuals from the same side of the ball, and they go, okay, what's going to be the defense? What's going to happen to the defense in 2019? I'll just say this. Because of, you know, how solid as far as the weapons on offense, how solid the weapons are, it can only make the defense better day in and day out in practice.
Well, yeah, they know that we have belief in them, and we know that they have belief in us. So it works both ways, hand in hand. I don't think there's any side of the ball that feels that they're superior to the other. We both come to practice with the idea of we're getting each other better.
I said earlier the fact that you don't care and nobody on your team cares if the media or the outside noise, if they believe in you or not. At the same time, though, there's a positive way to take that and let it fuel you with that little chip on your shoulder saying, oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough for that. Because for me, if somebody told me that, it would really irk me to the point where it would drive me even more.
Well, for me personally, and I can't speak for the rest of the team, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I've really never had one because I've just been so self-motivated. You know, if I'm not going to do the work, then what is somebody else saying something gonna affect that, you know? So that's just me personally.
I've noticed in my experiences, and, you know, I take pride in the fact this is the 12th time I've had the fortunate situation of being able to host my show here from SEC Football Media Days. But year in, year out, one of the things that you can notice is the fact that, you know, players that represent Vanderbilt, you know, the intelligence is there, the leadership is there. And for you, for example, to be put in this position, obviously that speaks highly of you and the belief that Coach Mason and that staff, the belief that they have in you.
Well, just to speak on the leadership piece, it's really easy for me. Like, I've been blessed with a position group. I'll just talk about them. A position group that works hard day in and day out. The tight ends come to work. They're intentional about their actions. They're detailed in their approach. They're intelligent. And it's been really fun to be. And then my number two guy, Cody Markell, has played, if not just as much football, not that much less, you know. And then he's just as smart as me in the playbook. He's just as determined to me, just as determined as me to be good.
And the funny thing is, you're the first. We're fortunate enough. You're the first interview today. You know, I know it's going to be a very busy day for you when you go. But the funny thing is, there's no nervousness, and you got a huge smile on your face. you're kind of like, I'm in this position. It's my last year. I'm going to enjoy every moment of this.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't talk about football, then, you know, what can you talk about?
Hey, what can the Vanderbilt fans expect out of you guys this year?
A good season, hard work, and fun.
Vanderbilt tight end Jerry Pinkney, we had a chance to sit down with him yesterday morning, part of our 4 days of coverage of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover. We'll come up, coming up on the other side, we'll wrap up hour number one. We still have another hour to go today leading into the weekend. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. We're looking at this heavy traffic flow here, trying to get south of town on 65 back down into Brentwood, down through Williamson County, 2400 block of Buena Vista. That's in Bordeaux. That's a two-car collision. Also, Gallatin Pike at Hart Lane in East Nashville on a crash. You'll find yourself in a crowd there. 65 headed north of town up through Madison right now, all the way up to Vietnam Vets. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out this weekend, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up next hour, more Braves chat, more college football talk as well. And then that will lead up to Braves baseball tonight, game two of this four-game series against the Nationals. Last night did not go the Braves' way, but that's all right. They lost 13-4 to the Nationals. The Braves now with three straight losses, so that needs to come to an end tonight. The interaction tonight in the East, a 5.5 game lead over Washington, and their lead over Philadelphia, 7.5. Julio Teheran on the mound tonight for the Braves, 5-6 on the year, but a 3.71 ERA. Patrick Corbin, the left-hander for the Nationals, he is 7-5 on the year, 3.39 earned run average. Hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. Just a reminder, by the way, if you're going out this weekend, live music, could be sporting events, whatever the case may be, if you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But cops across Tennessee are cracking down on drunk driving, so if you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Booze it and lose it. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Hour number two coming up. Stay with us, everybody.